so this morning, we're just going to do a review of some of the things that we've learnt this week. We've had on average about 42 children. I did my sums earlier on, Katie, and I think it was about 42. And that was great. And we want you to feel relaxed this morning. So if we find ourselves doing something and you're not entirely comfortable with it, please don't worry. Just sit there. Just enjoy other people enjoying it, okay? But we're going to do some of the things that we have done this week. And all this week, if you've ever seen the program The Repair Shop, you will know roughly what Restoration Station is all about. Except instead of people coming with goods and things that are very precious to them and we sort them out for them, we've been thinking about Jesus and how he helps to mend a broken world, the broken world that we live in. And we'll think about that a little bit later on. But we've had four stories this week, four stories all from the Bible, all from the Gospel of John. And the first story, that's indicated by this signpost here. Some of you can see there is a signpost saying Cana, 1 mile in that direction, and Capernaum, 19 miles in that direction. And that's to remind me that the story we had on Tuesday was about a royal official who lived in Capernaum and who wanted to see Jesus because his son was very ill. And he traveled all the way to Cana to see Jesus and said to Jesus, please come back with me to Capernaum because my son's ill and I know you can make him better. And Jesus said, your son will live. You can go. And the man thought for a moment, I thought you were going to come back with me. No, Jesus stayed where he was. And when the man went back, he was met by some servants who told him his son had recovered. And he had recovered at exactly the same time as Jesus had said, your son will live. Wow. So Jesus didn't just heal people. He healed people from a distance. And this signpost reminds us that all of the miracles we see in the Bible that Jesus performed give us a sign to tell us that Jesus is someone very, very special, that he is the one from God. Fantastic. Okay, so day one was the story of the official son who was healed, even though Jesus was many miles away. And then on day two, well, we had this, which is the closest that I could, it's a paddling pool, okay? But it's the closest I could get to the pool of Bethesda, okay? The Pool of Bethesda was and is still in Jerusalem, and you can go and see it today if you want to, but it doesn't look quite the same. But the Pool of Bethesda wasn't a swimming pool. It was a special pool that we think people went into in order to prepare themselves to go up and worship God at the temple in Jerusalem. So what they would do is they would go in one side, it was called a mikveh, and you would go in one side and they would wash themselves as a sign, as an outward sign that they wanted to be ready to meet with God, and then they would step out and they would come out the other way and they'd make sure they didn't touch anybody on the way. Then they'd go up to the temple and they'd worship God, knowing that they had, well, they tried to do the right thing. It was a symbol of something that God wanted to do. But actually, there were lots and lots of people around this pool who were disabled, who were ill, who were sick in some way. And they believed that when the water stirred, that the first person in, or whenever the water stirred, the person that got in first, they would be healed of whatever it was that they had. And there was a man there who'd been there for 38 years who was disabled. And he said every time the water stirred, he didn't have anybody to help him into the pool. And when Jesus came up to him and said, do you want to get better? The man said, I can't get better. There's no one to help me. And at that moment, Jesus says, pick up your mat, walk, stand up and walk. And the man was healed after 38 years. And this reminded us that Jesus gives us a brand new start and that he had the power to heal people there and then, but also that he gave us a brand new start, almost like we're all being cleaned and washed, ready for a brand new start. So we'll come back to that thought a little bit later on, but that was what we did on day two from John chapter 5, from verses 1 through to 13. And throughout this week, we've been learning a verse from the Bible. We call it a memory verse because we try and remember it. Only I have noticed that the people wearing orange t-shirts struggle to remember this, okay? So let's have a quick look at what the verse was. It's from 2 Corinthians. So a man called Paul wrote this to a church in Corinth. He said, anyone, well, actually, rather than me say it, can we all say it after three together? After three, one, two, three. Anyone who belongs to Jesus has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then on day three, we had a very moving story A story of two fires. Here was the first fire. This was the fire that Simon Peter sat next to when he pretended that he didn't know Jesus. Jesus had just been arrested, not because of anything wrong he had done, but just because of the wrong things we have done. And Simon Peter, although he tried to intervene at first, he followed Jesus to a courtyard of the high priest. And he sat by a fire, and over the next few minutes, he pretended that he didn't know Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. And earlier that day, in fact, earlier that evening, Jesus had said to Simon Peter that that would happen. Simon Peter felt terrible. He ran out of the courtyard and started crying. And then whenever he must have looked at that fire, he must have thought of the shame that he felt. But just a couple of weeks later, some days later, after Jesus had come back to life, after he died, come back to life, he spent some time with different people. In fact, 500 different people, different times, different places over the next few weeks, all saw him alive and well. Different places, different times. But it was by another fire that Jesus spoke to Simon Peter, and he said, "Do you love me?" And Simon Peter said, "Yes, yes, I do love you." And then Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Feed my sheep. That was a strange thing to say to a fisherman. Jesus said it again. "Do you really love me, Simon Peter?" "Yes, I do," said Simon Peter. "Feed my lambs." "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." A final time, a third time, Jesus said, "Do you really love me, Simon Peter, son of John?" "Yes," said Simon Peter. "You know everything. You know that I love you." "Good," said Jesus. "I've got a job for you." So the second fire reminded us that Jesus forgives people, even when they've made a mess of things. However much a mess they may have made, Jesus is always willing to forgive us if we're truly sorry. And then we heard that there was another fire. Just a few weeks later that Simon Peter experienced, a fire that happened at Pentecost. And this wasn't a fire that destroyed anything. This was a fire that gave everybody hope that Jesus would be with them for the rest of the time as they went out into all of the world to tell people about Jesus and the amazing love he has for each of us. Three fires, one of shame, one of forgiveness, another one of hope. And we thought about that on day three at the Restoration Station. And then on day four, we thought about the special story where Jesus brings Lazarus back to life, even though Lazarus has been inside a tomb for 4 days, which tells us something about Jesus. It tells us that not even death can break him, that he can overcome and mend death. And I was thinking, I've got a sign that reminds us of day one and the story there. I've got a sign that reminds us of day two and of Jesus giving people a new start. I've got a sign of day three of how Jesus forgives. And I was thinking, what can I find that is a sign of Jesus overcoming death? It took me a while to work out that the sign is the cross, an empty cross, because Jesus didn't stay dead. He came back to life. And the Bible tells us that not even death can get in his way. In fact, when he was talking to the Lazarus' sister, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, will carry on living." And only Jesus can make that promise, and only Jesus can make that statement. Right. And you know what? This kind of reminds me about what we've been learning all this week. You see, the Bible is a story that has good news, bad news, and good news. Is there somebody, one of the children like to come out and just help me with this bit? Janet. Janet, would you like to come out? Sorry. Here we go. Can you put your thumbs up like that, Janet? Can you do that? And can you also put your thumbs down like that? Okay, very good. Do you stand here for the moment? Because at the very beginning of the Bible, we have a story which is brilliant news. Can you put your thumbs up like that? Fantastic. Brilliant news. A story of how God created the world brilliantly well and how he created people fantastically well. But then something happened. Everything was going really, really well. People were getting on with people. People had a good relationship with God and in the world around them. And then something went wrong. And it wasn't God that got it wrong. It was people. And this is where the bad news comes. Let's go this way. The bad news now. Okay. The bad news was that people decided they didn't want to listen to God. They wanted to go their own way. And when they broke off their friendship with God, everything got broken. got broken. Their friendship with God, their friendship with one another got broken. Their friendship with the world around them got broken. Everything seemed to be going wrong. But then we have good news. Because instead of God saying, right, it's gone horribly wrong, I'm going to start again, I'm going to get rid of the whole world, get rid of people, I'm going to... Are you all right? Are you foaming at the mouth? Oh, you're just eating your necklace. Okay, all right. Okay, instead of saying, I'm going to start again. And let's be honest, sometimes when things go wrong in our houses, do you know, you look like some woman's just, oh, I don't swallow it. Okay, what is it? It's your necklace. Oh, it is. Oh, yeah, put it on there. That's it. I know I'm the registered first aider, but choking on pearls has never been one of my things. Okay, very good. But God said, instead of getting rid of everything, instead of starting again, he said, I'm going to try and mend this broken world. And the Bible tells us that for many hundreds of years, he told people about what he was going to do. And then Jesus came into the world. And that was brilliant news. And the gospel, the word gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, gospel, that means good news. And it was brilliant news because Jesus shows us the way. Jesus showed us that he was the way that we could restore our friendship with God. It was brilliant news because he showed us how we could all have a brand new start. We could all be washed from within, as it were, and have a brand new start. And we would still get things wrong, but he would give us that brand new start. And Jesus showed us that even when we messed up, like Simon Peter did all of those years ago, that he will always, always forgive us if we're truly sorry. And whatever we may have done in the past, whatever we may have thought, whatever we may have said, that offer of forgiveness is there for each one of us. He will restore our friendship with God. There's also the promise that he will be with us every step of the way. The fire that reminds us that Simon Peter and the other apostles had on that Pentecost morning. That Jesus would be with them. So that was brilliant news. The thing is, we still live in a broken world. And you only have to listen to the news. And these days, I don't listen to the news as much as I used to because it's a bit depressing. We find out that all sorts of things are going wrong. Going wrong with our planet, going wrong with our political systems, going wrong with all sorts of other things. And the first thing we have to do to put it right is to make sure that our friendship with God is right. And only Jesus can make that right. When we've got that right, we can then start thinking about putting some of the other things right. But here's the really good news, the amazing news, the sensational news, is that one day, come this way, there's going to be fantastic news. In fact, it's more than just thumbs up. I think it's hands up in the air going, yay! Okay, it's yay, fantastic news. Because for all those people who put their trust in Jesus, the Bible says one day Jesus will come for each one of us and take us to be with him forever, and he will restore everything as it should be. In other words, everything will be like it was at the very beginning. I find that hard to imagine, but the Bible makes that promise that everything will be fine. And all those who love Jesus, all those who love God, who've been restored, who are that new person where the old has gone and the new has come, they will spend the rest of eternity with Jesus. That's fantastic news if our lives have been restored. And if we've come to Jesus and asked him to forgive us and to give us that brand new start. Let's give her a round of applause as she sits down. Thank you so much. So I don't know how you're feeling this morning, whether you're feeling a bit broken, whether you realize that you need to get things right with God. And perhaps you need to ask Jesus to be your friend, to say sorry for the things that you may have done in the past, to have that brand new start and to know that Jesus is with you every step of the way.